ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the fifth episode of the Grand Slam Podcast. I'm your host, Moneymaker Chris, and I'm joined tonight, as always, by my co-host, the one and only Mr. Jay Giles. Jay, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Another episode, here we are. It's episode five.
Five, man. I tell you, we're right along with these shows, man. I'm loving it.
Yeah. I actually like this format of us doing it, like, bi-weekly. Because even though it is every other week, but it doesn't feel like it.
And no, it's like the time goes by fast. It's not like we just did one. Here we are, you know, 2 weeks later doing another show. That 2 week period goes by quick.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I might have to implement that into another podcast.
Let's try it out. See how that works out. This is working for our show so far. So yeah. You never know. Yeah. Cool. All right. You ready to get into this week's episode?
I am.
Alrighty, up first tonight. Earlier this season, we started this show. We talked about one of my favorite players, one of yours too as well, Jay, Ken Griffey Jr. But tonight we're talking about another one of my all-time favorite players, the Iron Man. Not that Iron Man that you guys may be thinking about, but baseball's version of Iron Man, the one and only Cal Ripken Jr. And like I said, Cal Ripken, he's one of the classiest guys in baseball. I mean, class personified. I mean, you never heard any like scandals or any trouble, anything for him, you know, on or off the field or anything with steroids or anything like that. He just played the game the right way, and he was just a fan favorite to many of baseball fans. And he had a 21-year career, He has played with the Baltimore Orioles, and he's a hometown guy. He's from Maryland, so he got to play for his hometown team. And he made his major league debut in August 10th of 1981, and he played his last game, which I got to attend, actually. We'll get into that a little bit later, on October 6th, 2001. And let's see, he had a career batting average of .276. He had 3,184 hits, 431 home runs, with 1,695 RBIs, runs batted in. He made 19 All-Star appearances. He won one World Series. He won two AL MVP awards. He was the Rookie of the Year in 1982. He won a couple of Gold Gloves, 8 Silver Sluggers. He won the Roberto Clemente Award. And, of course, he's probably most famously known for breaking Lou Gehrig's consecutive games played streak, and he played in just crazy 2,632 consecutive games. That's unbelievable when you think about it. He won a home run derby. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he played both shortstop and third base during his career. He played third base kind of at the end of his career, but he started as a shortstop, and he's one of the taller shortstops too. He was like 6'4", 225. He was one of the taller guys playing shortstops, and he holds the record all time for most home runs by a shortstop with 345. He broke Ernie Banks' record for shortstops with most home runs. Jay, give me your thoughts on Cal Ripken.
I mean, you kind of said it all, but I'll kind of piggyback off of a few things you said. He really was like the class of, you know, Major League Baseball, because, you know, watching it as a kid or whatnot, I did get to see like a lot of Oriole games on TV, and everything. And it just, whenever you saw him, you just felt like he was somebody that you could look up and, you know, be inspired by, be, you know, admire, because like you said, he never was caught up in any type of scandals, you know, or anything like that. But it just seemed like he played the game the right way and had fun playing the game. And I think, too, I'm trying to remember, but I don't think I'm wrong on this, but I think he also played in a few of the Rock and Jock, you know, celebrity games, you know, that they used to do on MTV.
Oh, yeah, you know, I think he did. I remember those. I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe he did.
Yeah, so, like I say, he knew how to have fun and everything, and I mean, I don't think anybody will ever, you know, break, you know, his consecutive game streak. I don't.
Oh, no, no.
I don't think nobody will.
Not that, no.
So
I don't think so at all, man.
And it's crazy. And then, like you said, too, he played for 21 years and he was a all-star in 19 of them.
Mm-hmm. That's so, a lot right there.
Yeah, so it's like he only missed 2 all-star games and of his whole entire career. Like, how many guys can really say that?
Not many.
But, I mean, those Oriole teams that he was a part of for the most part, at least like in the mid to late 90s, they wasn't like, I mean, they was always like a contender type, but they wasn't anything overtly like, oh, the Orioles is going to, mm-hmm. you know, do this or whatnot. But it was always like, like I said, it was a joy watching him play. And he's someone, like I say, in recent, even though he's been retired since, what, 2001, I believe?
One.
Mm-hmm. And everything, we haven't heard any, like, Cal Ripken is a piece of trash.
Nothing like that, man. Nothing like that at all. Nothing, not a bad, I never heard anybody say a bad word about that Cal Ripken.
Even though, you know, because when you think about it, like, some of our favorites, you know, whatnot in recent, he's like, oh, my God. It's like, God damn it.
But, I know, right? You come back to fight, you're like, dang, who knew? Who knew?
So, but with him, like I say, you don't hear anything bad about him. And I think now, isn't he like a coach or something like that, I believe?
I think so. I think he's got like a minor league something where he's like a coach or something like that. Yeah. He still lives in the area. He lives in Minneapolis, Maryland with his wife and everything. He still does a lot of like charitable work and stuff in the area. So I think he's like a minor league or something like that.
Yeah. So like I say, so he's still involved in the game of baseball. But I do find it funny too when, because I wanted to wait to say this on the show because you told me we were going to be talking about Cal Ripken. I was like, huh. That's interesting. So far in the first 5 episodes, the 2 players like that we really spotlighted, both of them are juniors.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Cal Ripken Jr. and Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. The two juniors.
Yeah. So there you go. You know. So I just had to throw that in there. But yeah, I mean, he was just a class dude. That's the best way to really sum him up.
That's all you can say about it. I mean, just when you think of Cal Ripken, you just think class personified.
Yeah.
And check this out, too. His father actually was a manager, Cal Ripken Sr. He actually managed the Orioles. And in 1987, he became the first and only father to manage both of his sons on the same team because his brother, Billy Ripken, got called up around the time he started managing. So he got to manage both of his sons
wow.
on the same team on the Orioles.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I knew his brother played, and I knew his father was a manager, but I know he got to manage them both at the same time. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Daddy Ball is envious of that.
But one thing I did find, because he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2007, and he mm-hmm. was inducted in with a 98.53%, you know, vote.
Mm-hmm.
First ballot, so it's like, mm-hmm. yeah. But I'd like to know who the hell didn't think that he should go into the Hall of
Fame. That's what I'm thinking. Like, who would have thought, like, not to put this guy into the Hall of Fame? I mean, I would have liked to know exactly who those people who didn't vote for him be, you know, in the Hall of Fame. That's crazy, man. That makes no sense.
It really don't. It's probably somebody, I don't know, just for the hell of it. Nah, well, we can't make it 100%, so.
Mm-hmm, yeah, you can't make it 100%. You know, that'd be too much like right. So, you know, yeah. let's make it like 98%.
Yeah, it's like, really, like, some people actually out there, that Cal Ripken guy, he had all those years and he did, you know, consecutive games and all, you know, gold gloves and, he don't need to go in there on the first ballot.
No. Not at all. Somebody's being real, real petty.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Freaking sports writers.
Mm-hmm. Go figure. Just a couple of my favorite Cal Ripken moments. First off, obviously, him September 6, 1995, when he broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive game streak with 2,131 games. They say that's still to this day the most televised baseball game to on ESPN, because they broadcasted on ESPN when it took place. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, that's the most televised game. And they said he got like a 22-minute like standing ovation. They said it's one of the longest like standing ovations ever. And he came out and he took a lap around the stadium and everything, because he wasn't going to do that. But they said like Bobby Bonilla and Rafael Palmeiro pushed him up. They said, you know, you should take a lap around the stadium, because, you know, they never going to, you know, get this game going. So I don't remember watching it. I remember kind of listening to it on the radio, but then I actually went back on YouTube and watched it, and it's like amazing. I mean, that just that moment. I mean, that was a huge moment at the time when that happened. Do you remember like watching that or hearing about that when he did that?
I didn't see the game, I don't think, but mm-hmm. I do remember watching, you know, like the highlights on SportsCenter and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then, you know, SportsCenter was actually a credible, you know, network or whatnot. Now,
right.
It's not so much. But yeah, I do remember seeing the highlights and, you know, just the celebration, you know, because, I mean, it really was and still is a huge milestone for any sport, really.
Mm-hmm. You know,
for him to have that type of longevity and not to be hurt or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Sick or anything like that. Yeah. Playing that many consecutive games. I mean, that's that. Like I said, that's a streak that would, like, that was something that would never be broken. Never be broken.
No.
And let's see. Another one of my favorite moments was him was during his last All-Star game, where he hit that home run, and then Alex Rodriguez tried to get him to go out there and play shortstop one last time, because that was obviously the position he was, you know, known most for. Because he played third base like toward like the last few years of his career. But that was a very good moment. His last All-Star game. And I believe he won the MVP in that game as well. Yeah, he won the All-Star game MVP that game as well. So that was another, you know, cool moment. Do you remember that at all or no?
I do, because I kind of compare his last game, you know, All-Star game, similar to like Michael Jordan's last All-Star game, you know, the one mm-hmm. where KG stole his trophy. But because, I mean, the whole thing, you know, was revolved around him. They, you know, they was like, because he's retiring. So, yeah, this is his last hoorah. So let's kind of, you know, send him out, you know, because of the fact that he played the game the right way. So let's do and just honor him in a way. So it was a good moment. And like I said, for Alex Rodriguez, because, I mean, Alex, he's another one who he played shortstop, but he also played third base, too.
Third base, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that was like a taller shortstop.
Yeah. So it was nice that he was like, hey, let the old guy kind of go back, you know, out here in the position that he, you know, started his career in once again in this moment. So that was a good, you know, touch. It's something good that Alex did. One of the few things I probably say.
One of the few good things, yeah.
He did.
Right. So,
yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that was a very cool moment. Yeah, because I remember watching that game. That was, you know, very fun, like, to see him have his, like, little last All-Star moment. And then, last but not least, his final game, which I actually got to attend back in 2001. His final game at Camden Yards, and it was against the Boston Red Sox. Now, it's funny. It was right during, like, they said that it was supposed to take place, his final game was supposed to take place at Yankee Stadium, but I think they had some, like, delays or something that was going on, and the game got pushed back, so ended up actually having his final game at home, which is, like, you know, perfect way to send him off, you know, in front of the hometown fans in Baltimore. And like I said, I got to attend the game. And I was looking for it. I knew I had it around here somewhere. I found my ticket stub from that game. Yeah, I'm going to tweet that out later, a picture of it on our Twitter account and everything. But I actually found my ticket from that game. I mean, it was an awesome moment being there. Like I said, being just a big fan of his, being there for his final game, it was just a great moment.
Wow. I mean, you know, you should check and see, like, how much that thing probably worth. I mean, because it's his final game, so I'm pretty sure it might be worth something, really.
It might. You know what? I didn't even think about that. You're very right. It could wrap, so that's probably worth a good amount of money, I'm sure.
Because, I mean, one thing that I've started doing, like, whether I'm going to, like, a wrestling event or even certain movies, I've been keeping my ticket stubs.
Yeah, that's what I always do when I go to games or wrestling stuff. You know, I always keep my ticket too, because you just never know. Just, you know, it's like a souvenir, a keepsake, or like I said, you know, think it might be worth something. You just never know.
Yeah. Like, was that 18 years ago now? Jeez.
Yeah, about 18 years ago. That's unbelievable.
Ugh.
Unbelievable. And then I couldn't remember the quote, because after the game he did get like a little speech and everything, like after the game, and I could remember some of the quote that he had said like after the game, but I actually found it here. Like he gave like a little post game speech, and he basically said, "One question I've repeatedly been asked these last few weeks is, how do I want to be remembered? My answer has been simple. To be remembered at all is pretty special. I might also add that if I am remembered, I hope it's because by living my dream, I was able to make a difference. Thank you."
Nice.
That's it.
Nice.
That describes Cal Ripken right there, like, perfectly to a T. I mean, that was like a... That describes his personality and everything right there in that very quote right there.
Yeah, I mean, because he... Even though he was a baseball star, he wasn't a superstar, per se.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could ask, like, you know, a casual, like, you know who Cal Ripken Jr. is? They'd be like, who?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They're like, who? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But if you followed the game or something like that for a period mm-hmm. of time, especially during the time that he played, mm-hmm. then I'd be like, yeah, I know who Cal Ripken is. Yeah, he, you know, he's the Iron Man, or, you know, he broke, you know, the consecutive game streak or something like that. People would know, but it just the fact that to kind of compare him to someone from now, even though it's a different sport, but I would say, like, a personality-wise, like a Kawhi Leonard.
That's a good very accurate comparison. That's a good comparison.
Yeah, because they have the similar, like, type of low-key, you know, it's not about me, per se. It's about the team, mm-hmm. and I just come to play the game. If you like mm-hmm. me, you like me. If you don't like me, that's okay, or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I'm living my dream. So,
yeah, he definitely got to live his dream. And I got to, like I say, being in the area, you know, like, so before the Nationals came here, all we had around here, like, baseball-wise, was the Orioles. So we used to always go out to Baltimore to the Orioles games. So I got to see him play a lot. And one of the things I always used to like about him, like he did this, like, consistently, like, before every game. He'd stand up there for at least about maybe half hour, 45 minutes or so, and just would sign autographs for the fans. He did that, like, every game. I never got a chance to, like, get there in time to, like, you know, get him to sign something for me, but I know every game consistently he'd just be out there with the fans just signing autographs. See, I remember that. I said, that tells you what type of person he was.
Yeah, because he given to the fans. And I mean, guys now, and that's like any sport or whatnot, they kind of forget that's what it's really about. It's about the fans. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have some, you know, asshole fans or whatnot, but especially like the kids and stuff like that, who you never know what that might do for them in the long run. That, you know, that moment meeting them could be like, hey, it inspires me to chase my dream, whether it's getting into the sport, you know, that they're going to see, or whatever their career is. It inspires them to go chase their dream, and then they could pass that on to somebody else someday. You never know how that works. So, for, you know, for him to do things like that, or guys like him to do stuff like that, is always a good thing. But it's like nowadays, we really don't get too many people like that.
No, don't. But yeah, like I said, there will never be another Cal Ripken. I mean, some people may come close, but he's just one of a kind. He's like in the league of his own, man. He's a very special, special player.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Anything else about Ripken before we move on?
No. I just remember him. I forgot exactly what it was. I don't know if it was his last game or if it was one. I just always have that image of him coming out of the dugout and, you know, tipping his hat to the crowd. And
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I always remember that for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Another thing about him too. Real quick. He always used to switch up his batting stance. He was always famous for the train changing up. He was one of the few people that I remember that would constantly, like, you know, change up his batting stance, because most people would keep, you know, the same stance throughout their career. He was constantly, as the years would go on, he would do something a little different. He'd rest it on his shoulders. He kind of crouched down. He was doing a variety of different things at the plate with his stance, and that was one of the few people or only people that I would see doing that, and I always thought that was fascinating.
Plus, I always thought the dude that played with him for a few years, especially in the 90s, Brady Anderson, he had an interesting batting stance, too.
He did. Brady Anderson's another one of my favorite players. He actually works for the Orioles, and I know they're front office, but he had a very interesting batting stance, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, it sucks that it came out that he kind of, you know, use some of the juice. But...
I know. That got me. Like I said, he was another one of my favorites. He was another great player for the Orioles. I was like, jeez. Yeah, doing that 50 home run season he had. I'm like, come on, man.
We should have known.
It was like too good to be true. But like I said, he's in the front office now for the Orioles. So, hey, you know, good for him. But, yeah, that's it on Cal Ripken. Like I said, class act. Like I said, one of the all-time greats. Up next, baseball video games. So I sent you that picture the other day showing you like the first system that had like a had a baseball game, and like I said, seeing that really like old school system was like
the fossil.
Like I said, I'm like, really? And then even what makes it even more crazy because like I said, when they were naming these games and everything, they were naming them by like numbers. So like the 12th game that came out for that system, was called the Fair Channel F system, and the 12th game that came out for that was a baseball game. They said that's like one of the first baseball games that came out. And when you see like highlights, like I'm seeing like some highlights of the game and everything, it looked like people were actually sitting down playing. This is the last time I drew a bunch of stick figures and put it together for a baseball game. I'm like, people were actually sitting down actually playing this? I'm like, really? I'm like, wow. But I guess they're in that time period. I guess that was it was the time period. Like I said, 1976. So yeah, they were like, oh man, this is awesome.
It was the height of technology.
And then what? I'm sure it was. I'm like, oh my God, we got a baseball game here. Yay.
I mean, I was sitting there, when you sent it to me, I started laughing because I was like, I wouldn't even know what the hell to do with these like joysticks or whatever the hell these
things are. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't know what to do with it. I'm like, how am I supposed to play with this thing? Unbelievable, man. And like I said, and it went for like I said, $169.95 for that thing, man.
Yeah, which because I had equated it to today's dollars, which is
today's
like,
standards, right,
like $700 something.
I was like, jeez. Oh my goodness! But yeah, I guess you know, like I said, for the time period and everything, that was a big thing for them. I guess I'm sure.
Yeah. Just imagine, for us, you got kids coming along now, like when like Nintendo and Sega came out, they probably look like, what is this ancient thing?
Right, exactly. Very true. Very good point. They're like, what is this? Now, I have some of my favorite baseball games. Did you have any favorite baseball games that you played over the years when you were playing video games and stuff?
I mean, okay, so when I was young, when I was a kid or whatnot, I think I played more like basketball and football games as far as sports go, but did have a few baseball games, and I was looking it up because I knew we was going to talk about this, and I know I had the King Griffey Jr. game, which came out in 94, and I also had a Frank Thomas Big Hurt
there you go.
But there was another one, and I was looking it up, and I can't remember the name of it, but I know I had this game, because whichever game that was, I always played with the freaking Atlanta Braves for some reason, because I think I told you a few episodes back that, you know, I used to watch the Atlanta Braves all the time with my granddad and everything like that, so it was always the Atlanta Braves and all that type of stuff, so... But like I said, I can't remember exactly which game it was. I don't know if it was. It could have been one of them, and I'm just remembering it different or something like that because that was so long ago. But I know it was another game. And then, of course, like I got back into like with the recent games because, you know, everything is MLB now. But but yeah, I mean, I remember playing like certain baseball games, you know, back in the day, and I used to love like. I mean, even thinking back about it, like the graphics for those games compared to now is like it's like ancient. So we could just imagine whatever the hell that original thing like.
Right, exactly. I can only imagine, man.
But it used to be fun games, though. So
You had some a lot of fun games. Some of my favorites here that I used to play. One was World Series Baseball. I used to play it on the. It was for Sega, but I played it on the Sega Game Gear. That was a fun game. That came out like around 94. And another one.
What was it called?
It's called World Series Baseball.
I wonder if that's the I wonder if that was it.
It like, could have been. It could have been, yeah.
No. Yeah, I'm looking it up now. I think it was the RBI baseball. That's the one.
Okay.
That was the one. Yes. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because mm-hmm. they all came out like that same like year or whatnot. Like 93, mm-hmm. 94. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the other one that I was thinking of. Okay.
Oh, okay. Cool. Some of my other favorites, another one was World Series Baseball 2K1. That was one of the first baseball games that came out on the Dreamcast. That was a very fun game. Very good graphics. Pedro Martinez was actually on the cover of that one. Another one of my favorites, it was called MLB Pennant Race. That came out in 1996, and it had Tripper Jones on the cover. It was on the... It was on PlayStation 1. Very fun game. I mean, my mom got it for me from, like, Sears and everything. And me and my uncle, we used to play the heck out of that game, man. It was a lot of fun. Graphics were nice. Gameplay was smooth and everything. Very fun game. Another one was MLB Baseball 99. And lo and behold, who was on the cover of that game? Cal Ripken Jr.
Yep.
And one of the crazy things, funny things about this game was, like I said, the gameplay was smooth and everything, but I just remember you'd be playing it, you know, you'd be, you know, giving it a pitch or a hit or whatever, and you could hear, like, people would be in the stands, like, you know, giving out the hot dogs and all that different stuff. You can hear just much randomly, you'd just be there playing, and all of a sudden they'd just say, peanuts, nachos, randomly, just out of nowhere. You know, my cousin used to play that all the time, and we used to get a kick out of that, just randomly, just throughout the course of the game. Nachos, peanuts.
It's like a real,
It was that was very real, and we got a very good kick out of that one. That was a lot of fun playing that one. Oh. And another one of my favorites is I still actually have it now, because I still have my Nintendo 64 was Major League Baseball featuring Ken Griffey Jr. That was a very fun game. It came out in 1998. They had a second one that came out as well. I think it was called Griffey Slugfest as well. It was like the follow-up for that one. But that was a very good game. That was a fun one. Like I said, I enjoyed that one a lot as well. Of course, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. So.
Yeah, of course.
But, of course. But now they kind of got this whole MLB The Show. That's the main baseball game out right now. And it's like exclusively to the PlayStation. Like I said, I had kind of stopped playing baseball games for a while because the ones that were coming out, like the gameplay was horrible, and I just didn't find them to be that fun. But I kind of got back into it like a couple of years ago because MLB The Show, they had like a special edition with Ken Griffey Jr. on the cover of it. So I said, like, I gotta get this game.
And I got that one.
Oh, you got that one? Oh, cool. Yeah, that kind of got me back into playing, like, baseball video games. Like I said, stopped for a while. It's just the games, like, they were coming out were just, like, horrible. Like, the gameplay, they weren't fun, like, what I, you know, was used to playing. But, go ahead.
No, real quick, I was just going to say, because, like, same thing, like, with you. I kind of stopped playing, you know, baseball games and whatnot, mainly because, you know, I fell out of watching baseball, so I kind of stopped playing the games. But the first game that I bought again that was a baseball game was MLB 13 because it had Andrew McCutchen on the.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
And even though, like I said, I wasn't really like watching, but because of course, you know, I watch SportsCenter a lot, especially in the mornings or stuff like
that. Evening. Me too.
I saw who he was and everything. I was like, okay, this is, you know, easy. Because. You know, we had that conversation about how, like, you know, African Americans kind of started, you know, getting away from playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 2013, I mean, you see, you know, here's this, you know, black dude that's playing and he's, you know, really good or whatnot. It's like, you know, he's pretty good or whatnot. So, mm-hmm. I would always kind of, like, check up on his stats and everything. Like, Andrew McCutchen, you know, was a good player. So, because of that, it kind of got me back into like, okay, well, maybe I'll pick up this baseball game and, you know, just start mm-hmm. playing again and stuff like that. So that was another one that, you know, I kind of like playing too, the 13.
Oh, that's cool. And there's another one that's out now. I haven't really played it before, but it's called MLB RBI. I haven't really played it, but I think what they did was, because I guess they wanted to, since the MLB The Show game is kind of exclusive to like Sony and like PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I guess they wanted to have a game for like the Xbox people as well. So that's kind of on Xbox. And I think it's on PlayStation 2, but I haven't really played that one. But the current actually MLB The Show game actually has Bryce Harper on the cover of that one. So good old Bryce is on the cover of this year's edition of the game.
Because, let's see, the one I have currently right now is 18. So I was thinking about, like, I probably get 20. You know what I mean? I'll probably get that one. So because, you know, it's almost similar to, like, you know, Madden, things like that. It's like, if you get the game every year, it's like, it kind of becomes like, okay, I'm just wasting money. Maybe if I go, like, a couple of years or, you know, a year or two, you know, by skipping, then, you know, the gameplay might change a little bit. And then, of course, the updated players and stuff like that. But
yeah, I would like having an updated roster and everything. Yeah, that's
but doing it every single year, that's almost like a waste of money. Especially if you're trying to play, like, a career. Like, why the hell would you play a career mode and you get in the game every year? That makes no sense. But
And one of the things I always like doing on the baseball games is doing, like, the home run derby. That's always fun to play.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite things to do in the MLB Show game is to do the home run derby mode. So that's always cool. Anything else involving baseball video games? Any favorites? Anything else you want to discuss on that?
I know I used to always, like, when I wanted to do, like your, you know, like a player or whatnot, create a player. For some reason, I always wanted to be a freaking pitcher. For whatever reason.
Really?
Yeah, always.
Interesting.
I was always the pitcher. But I used to hate having to get stuck in the minor leagues and everything like that. It's like, goddamn, I can't just get to the freaking major league. I have a great season. I forgot which game it was. I have a really good season. And I'm like, okay, maybe they'll call me up. Nope. Next season, I'm still in freaking minor.
That struggle is real, man, to try to get to the major leagues.
And then when you start, you know, you find yourself simulating a whole bunch of games and whatnot, and then the next thing you know, you got like a 8-12 record. And like,
I know, yeah, exactly. Your record goes in the tank.
Because you don't want to sit there and play all them games.
No, you don't. That's a lot of games. If you go through that, that's a lot of baseball games.
Exactly. So, but I always have fun. Like I said, because for some reason, I always like to be the pitcher. So.
Oh, that's cool. Cool. So that's all I got for baseball video games. As always, before we get up out of here, just a quick update of the standings and some of the games that are going on today. Starting off with the American League, the Yankees are back on top of the American League East at 35-18, followed by the Rays at 32-19, Red Sox at 29-25. Blue Jays and Orioles in last place at 17-37. How do you feel about that?
Well, you remember we said it when the Yankees went on that win streak. It was like the Rays might be in a little trouble, but and they did. They kind of, you know, lost a couple of games. You know, they kind of ran to a little slump. So, I mean, they still having a pretty decent season, but the Yankees seem to be like kind of hitting their stride right now.
Yeah, like I said, you can't hold them down for long. So, like I said, there's still a lot of games left. But, like I said, right now they're on top of the American League East. And let's see, the American League Central, the Twins are on top at 36-17, followed by the Indians, White Sox, Tigers, and the Royals. And then the Astros are on top of the American League West at 36-19. They're followed up by the Athletics, Rangers, Angels, and the Mariners. Any thoughts on that?
What the hell is Ichiro doing? He's supposed to be helping them hit. What's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. What's going on with that? Come on now.
They must be a lot better than what they're doing. They're in the freaking basement. But for the West, it is interesting. If I'm not mistaken here, it looks like the Athletics are on a 10-game win streak.
Yes, they are. 10 games
in a row.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that money ball for Billy Bean, you know, paying off. Maybe so, man.
Maybe it surely is, man. And let's hop over to the National League. The NL East, the Phillies are on top at 31-22, followed by the Braves, Mets, my Nationals at 22-32.
Oh,
that other team.
That other team is in
the basement.
Yeah.
Glad it's not my Nationals. Yeah. But yeah, how do you think about the NL East right now?
The Braves are a game and a half back. It's
yeah, they are. Yeah. It's getting interesting. Oh yeah, like I said, still a lot of games to play, but like I say, it's getting very interesting. The races are getting very tight. The National League Central, you got the Cubs on top at 30-22, followed by the Brewers, Cardinals, Pirates, and the Cincinnati Reds. NL West, you got the Dodgers on top at 36-18, followed by the Diamondbacks, Padres, Rockies, and the Giants. Any thoughts?
Magic's real team is still kicking butt in the NL West, and the Central is the Central. It kind of always been like that, really, when you think about it.
Oh yeah, always. Definitely.
The Central has never really, the NL Central has never been like a, I don't know, it just hasn't never really been like a division I really cared for. Even though I like the Pirates for some reason, but it's just always been like that middle of the road division.
But
yeah, the Dodgers, I see. Magic, he's focused his efforts over there.
Yeah, that's right. He's living his best life. You saw that picture I posted in the group, man. I thought he's out here living his best life now. He said, I'm stress free. I got to deal with that Lakers drama no more. Life is good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That whole
crap. Oh, my God. Real quick, some of the games that are going on right now. The Yankees are down right now to the Padres at the bottom of the 7th, 5-1. The Pirates are down, right, too. They're getting crushed 10-0 by the Cincinnati Reds at the end of the 7th. The Phillies are down 3-0 to the Cardinals. Orioles are down 3-0 to the Tigers. Let's see, the Rays are up 2-0 against the Blue Jays. That team from down where you're from is actually winning against the Giants.
Let's see how long that lasts. What inning?
That's the bottom of the 5th for that one.
And what's the score?
3-1.
Yeah, they're going to find a way to lose it. Yeah.
They'll find a way to find a way to mess that one up.
Yeah.
They got a delay going on with the Red Sox and Indians. I guess that's probably like a rain delay. My Nats are down 2-1 to the Braves. The Royals and White Sox are tied up 3-3. No score in the Brewers versus the Twins. The Cubs are up 3-1 on the Astros. Nothing with the Diamondbacks and Rockies. They're just getting started. They're at the top of the 1st. And then later on tonight, you got Angels and the Athletics. Mike Trout's team. You got the Mets and Dodgers. And then you got the Rangers and the Mariners. All the late games for tonight. So, alrighty, that's another episode in the books. Jay, anything you'd like to plug tonight?
Well, real quick before we wrap up the baseball stuff, I didn't know if you wanted to touch on about the passing of Bill Buckner or anything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we found out yesterday that Bill Buckner passed, another one of the greats in the game. That's right, I'm glad you brought that up. I almost forgot about that one. Any thoughts on him or his passing or anything?
Well, I will say this. I mean, he was 69 years old, but I was surprised to find out that he had dementia.
I know. I was surprised too by that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of surprised when they said that. I was like, wow. But it kind of sucks that he's, even though he had a good career, but he will always be remembered for the whole, the Red Sox and, the ball going between his legs and him.
His leg, it's a shame that that's the thing that most people, when they think of Bill Buckner, that's the first thing that, like, pops into their mind.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least he will always be remembered, but at the same time, what he's remembered for is
right.
Oh, man, but.
I know, yeah, I mean, you hate to be remembered for something like that, that follows you, like, your whole career.
I mean, like Mar Sanchez, he'll be remembered for the butt fumble. So.
Butt fumble, yeah, very true.
So,
always Mr. Butt Fumble. My Redskins had to sign him last season. Go figure.
Yeah, Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, they made a mistake with that. But Josh Johnson should have been the star.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it was sad to hear that he passed away and everything. And earlier when I turned on the TV when I got home from work, they was doing like a little special about him and everything. So, so yeah, just wanted to mention that, of course.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you for that. Yes. And yeah, anything else before we wrap up?
No, I mean, I just, mention about movie talk real quick. So, May Action is officially done. Episode 122, I wrapped everything up with Smoking Aces, 2007 Smoking Aces, so you can check that out. Go back and check out the previous episodes where I did the two John Wick movies, as well as The Long Kiss Goodnight. Those are the ones that I did for May Action. And this summer, I'm bringing Miss Keita Hubbard back to the podcast, and we're going to start this whole thing of movies that Keita has never seen before again. So I got the first poll up right now. The movies that can be voted on are Bird Box, Empire Records, Snowpiercer, and last time I checked, Spring Breakers is in the lead. So get to voting, people, because I really don't want to talk about Spring Breakers, even though I put it on there. But I don't want to. For anyone who's ever seen the movie, it's a crazy movie. But yeah, you can do that. And of course, you can check me out on Twitter at JMovieTalk.
Awesome, man. Sounds good. As far as I'm concerned, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Moneymaker Chris, as well as Instagram, DC Sports Fan 86. You guys can check out my writing on medium.com/@BrokenMoneymaker, as well as support me on Patreon, patreon.com/MoneymakerChris. I'm having some new content going up on there real soon. Check out my Facebook page for my writing as well, The Cash In, as well as Football and Friends, where I do all my football talk. I post my articles and stuff on there as well. Also, check out my work on MarylandSportsBlog.com. I'm mostly wrestling stuff over there for those guys. Covering NXT. I'll be doing predictions for NXT TakeOver this weekend, as well as this week in NXT, where I basically recap the show and give NXT news. That's for the Fight Club portion of the Maryland sports blog site, so check that out. And as well, I have products as well to support my blog. Thank you, Jay got his products today. He bought some merchandise for me, so if you want to purchase anything, towel, pins, wristbands, t-shirts, or anything, just hit me up on any of my social media platforms and we can hook that up. I take PayPal and Cash App. And give our podcast page a follow on the Twitter at @Slam_podcast. Like I said, that Cal Ripken ticket, I'm gonna take a picture of that and I'm gonna tweet that out from the page later today, so you can check that out as well. And that's all I got.
All right,
cool. Another fun episode. Jay, any last words?
Wild Thing, You Made My Heart Sing. I had to come back with the movie quote.
There you go. That's how we're gonna end it here tonight. Always, pleasure doing the show with you, Jay, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace out.
Peace.